The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Tom Williamson at KIIC Albia and Aaron Summers at the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Tom, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator Grassley, you proposed taking on the middlemen that seem to be behind the rising prescription drug costs, and I think your proposal was passed. Do I understand that? How does it seek to diminish the cost? Okay.
Well, it just got out of committee, 19-9. I'm not on that committee, so I compliment the 19 people that voted for it, and I compliment Senator Cantwell that wrote the bill with me. She's the main sponsor of it. I'm the Republican main sponsor. And it deals with kind of a something that's very opaque and not talked about much, the role of pharmacy benefit managers. They're the middle people between pharmaceutical companies and local pharmacists and the consumer. And nobody knows what they're doing. It's about a $500 billion middleman operation. Who benefits from it? The insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the pharmacy benefit managers, the pharmacists. There's surely little doubt that the consumer benefits from it. So this legislation is pretty simple. It directs the Federal Trade Commission to start looking into PBMs, find out the extent to which their role in it, and regulate that role if necessary. But most important thing is to make everything about the business of pharmacy benefit managers transparent, because with transparency, you get accountability. So today we don't have any accountability because we don't know what they're doing. And they're a powerful force in the high cost of drugs. And I expect when we get this information out to the public and they're more responsible, it's going to bring down the price of drugs. And just in case you have any doubt about what I'm saying about pharmacy benefit managers, PBMs, go to your local pharmacist and get their view of PBMs, and you'll find out that they are very, very negative about it, particularly from this standpoint. They sign a contract at the beginning of the year, and then later on in November, December, they get a bill to pay back thousands of dollars. Well, how can you run a business if you don't know exactly what your income is going to be at the end of the year and you get a bill like that?
I'm just wondering, in the light of the Supreme Court ruling released on the Friday about Roe versus Wade, is there any congressional will to enact a nationwide ban on abortion at this point?
I don't think so. I think the idea is, behind the Supreme Court decision, that it goes back to pre-Roe. And that pre-Roe was that states in varying degrees either prohibited abortions or had restrictions on abortions, or some states just before Roe were beginning to move towards legalizing abortions. And I think this returns it to the pre-Roe v. Wade political environment, where elected representatives and the political process is going to determine, as opposed to the courts not having a role in that. That's what that reversal basically said. The other answer to your question is this, that immediately after the decision was leaked, now a couple months ago, Schumer immediately took to the floor the most liberal, wide-reaching legalized abortion bill, legalizing abortion even till the time of birth. And that was defeated 51-49. And it would have taken 60 votes to even get the bill up for debate. So I think that speaks to the fact that it's going to rest with the states for the most part.
Senator, you had a bill I believe you sponsored or helped to write, to help small businesses and individuals stay afloat during bankruptcy. And that was signed into law. So tell us something about this bill and your role in getting this passed.
Well, my role was that I've been involved in bankruptcy legislation a long time before I became chairman or ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, because I chaired some subcommittees when Republicans were in a majority, or if we were in the minority, I chaired or as ranking member, served that role. And so I've been in the middle of bankruptcy legislation since we first passed the first major bankruptcy reform legislation in about a quarter of a century. Now that's probably 15 to 20 years ago. So from time to time, courts rule things that that weren't intended by Congress, and we overturn some of that. But also, there are some limitations on what small business can file under Chapter 13 of bankruptcy. That's called Small Business Bankruptcy Reform Legislation. Chapter 13 is small business bankruptcy. So they've got a chance of going small business. If they're a corporation, they could do Chapter 11, or if they want to completely not reorganize and go out of business, that'd be Chapter 7. But Chapter 13 has certain income limitations of being able to participate in Chapter 13. So this legislation would increase the amount of money because of inflation, so more business can use Chapter 13.
Thank you. Has there been any testimony during the January 6th hearings that came as a surprise to you, like any information that you hadn't received beforehand? And just in general, should the average American be tuning in and listening to that testimony when it's being broadcast?
Well, it's difficult for me to say people ought to be listening to it. I think most people are busy when that's on, except the one night it was on. But you're busy feeding your family, working, bringing income in, don't really have time to listen to it. If people could listen to it, I would advise them to do it. But I'm not in a position to chastise them because they aren't listening to it. But to answer the first part of your question, I think that there's really nothing new except just more detail would be the way that I would answer your question. In other words, what's come out here within the last month is just a little more detail, but nothing really new from my point of view.
Senator Grassley, I think you introduced a bill just a couple of weeks ago to allow unused COVID funds to be spent on school security measures. It seems to make good sense. Is this bill receiving some positive support?
Yes. When you send your kids to school, this is a statement about the killings that have happened the one in Uvalde is the most recent one. You send your kids to school, it ought to be the safest place for them, particularly because of the adults' supervision. And these tragic things happen. You can't help but do everything you want to help make the schools more secure. So this money ought to be available to anyone. Now, I'm wondering if the bill is actually necessary now from this standpoint. Now, I know that Governor Reynolds correctly took some of this money to give it several millions of dollars, maybe tens of millions of dollars, to every school, with every school getting at least $50,000 minimum for securing schools. I can say that a lot of schools, even in rural Iowa, are very cautious about who can come into that building or not, because I go to about 10 to 15 schools a year and to answer questions for the kids. And a lot of times we go to schools where the doors are locked and you got to punch a button to tell them who you are to get into the school building. But I think the extent to which we have unused COVID money, that yes, it ought to be used for that purpose. We can't stand these tragic things happening any longer.
I just wondered if you are familiar at all. I was reading an article yesterday about the America Competes Act, which would provide about $52 billion for the semiconductor industry. And a version of it had passed through the Senate last year and got bogged down in the House. And I wondered if you had any thoughts or concerns or, you know, things that the Congress can be doing to bolster the semiconductor industry in the U.S.
I voted for the bill when it left the Senate, and it wasn't brought up in the House for 7 or 8 months. They finally passed a bill, quite a bit different than the Senate bill. We're in conference now between the House and Senate. I'm on that conference committee trying to work out the differences, and I think it's a very important piece of legislation to reshore a lot of businesses, particularly the semiconductor business, where we don't have enough manufacturing in the United States, both from a national security standpoint and from a standpoint of our own manufacturing economic development. We shouldn't be so dependent upon foreign countries for something as important as semiconductor chips. There's a lot of cars that have been manufactured sitting on the lots just waiting for the computer chips to come in so that those cars can be sold. And there's a supply chain problem, and there's no It's just a harm to the economy. So I hope this legislation gets passed, and I thank both of you for participating today.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.